This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
This may not be the guy that you expected, but still, there's someone that people respect entering the Garden.
Kemba's a nice fit for all the hype about the Knicks, but it's indicative of the fact the Knicks have once again stalled.
Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Chris Carlin, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. Right now, we head to the Goodyear Hotline after the moves that the Knicks have made and all of the NBA free agency moves we have seen so far. Kevin Pelton, ESPN NBA writer, joins us right now, wrote about the Knicks moves yesterday, and you find out about the Kemba Walker deal as well. And I tell you, when you look at this whole picture right now, Kevin, how much, in your estimation, have the Knicks improved from this past season?
So I think the talent base is pretty dramatically improved when you look at the additions of Kemba Walker and Evan Fournier in the backcourt, addressing a place where they didn't necessarily get a lot of dynamic creation last year from Reggie Bullock and Elfrid Payton, who, you know, Payton wasn't even playable in that playoff series against the Atlanta Hawks. So, you know, Kemba is a dramatic upgrade there. Fournier gives you another shot-creating option on the wing that, you know, Bullock was more of that classic 3-and-D role player you didn't want with the ball in his hands. Now, the one thing is, I think just to get back to where they were last season, they probably had to improve because everything went so right for them in terms of, you know, number one, the health of their key players with the exception of Mitchell Robinson. Number two, the opponent's three-point shooting was, you know, probably better than you can sustain going forward. But now I look at this as a team that it's got a chance to more sustainably contend for a top five seed in the Eastern Conference than last year's group.
With understanding that next year is a year that's going to be a deep, rich free agency, does the signing of Julius Randle state that they're secure and you know, confident that he's the guy that they should go with through the future? Or is this a very movable contract, you know, that they can get out of if he doesn't live up to expectations or if the proper star presents itself?
I think it is movable right now. I mean, it's a lot less than Randle could have gotten had he waited for free agency next summer. I think rightfully, you know, he figured now was the time to strike. Last year was far and away the best year of his career, and we saw him struggle in the playoffs against Atlanta in a way that I think teams will, you know, try to take advantage of next season, although that's something where he'll benefit from having, you know, Kemba and Evan Fournier there, that it's not going to be as much defensive attention on Randle as there was in the playoffs. But I think the other thing is, I think the Knicks probably look at this and say, yeah, okay, free agency looks really star-studded right now on paper, but we said that same thing about this summer's free agency when we looked at it last year. And then Paul George, Giannis, all these star players, Rudy Gobert, took extensions and took themselves out of free agency. And I think something similar might happen next year with the Brooklyn players. Jimmy Butler is someone who reportedly is going to sign an extension. Right now, because of the way that the cap isn't going up very much from year to year, it just is making more sense for these players to extend than hit free agency.
Kevin Pelton, ESPN NBA writer, joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. Chris Carlin, Bart Scott with you on ESPN Radio. On the Randle deal, I mean, this is going to sound weird, okay? But is it a little bit, concerning is not even the word, surprising maybe, that Randle chose to not bet on himself and potentially give up $80 million more next year?
Well, it's funny. We always hear about, you know, tweets saying people bet on themselves. You never hear anyone say, well, they bet against themselves. And
well, I mean, yes, I do that all the time, Kevin, but that's you. That's me.
Same, exactly. Yeah, we're not as confident as NBA players typically are. But the other aspect of it is, look, Randle's got a good thing going right now. He's the star for the New York Knicks. He's still guaranteed a great deal of money. So I can understand why he would take this, even if he thinks he can be just as good next season as he was this past year.
Now, when you look at the moves that have been made across the entire NBA, what team has improved themselves and put themselves potentially up into the top three in the conference or top four in the conference?
Yeah, I think it has to be Miami in terms of making the most improvement from last year to next year. When you look at getting Kyle Lowry, the best player out there on the market, adding P.J. Tucker so that you've got that kind of defensive-minded power forward presence that they had 2 years ago with Jay Crowder. I don't think he's going to be quite as good for them as Crowder was because he's not the shooter at this stage of his career that Crowder is. But, you know, still they needed that piece to kind of complete the puzzle. So I'm still not sure that Miami is necessarily in the top three of the conference because you've got, you know, Philadelphia at this point. We'll see what happens with Ben Simmons. Brooklyn and Milwaukee, I think, are pretty clearly ahead of Miami. But they've given themselves a chance to get there. And I don't know that anyone else has really transformed their future to that degree so far this offseason.
Kevin Pelton, ESPN NBA writer, joining us at the Goodyear Hotline. Kevin, how much better are the Chicago Bulls than they were?
I'm skeptical they're that much better. I liked where they were going with the addition of Lonzo Ball, who I think fits really nicely next to Zach LaVine in the backcourt. But DeMar DeRozan's much more of a mystery to me in terms of, you know, you're bringing in someone who generally has needed to play with the ball in his hands to go alongside Zach LaVine, who was one of the most prolific pick-and-roll players in the league last season. You know, there's some ways you can get creative, I think, and make it work. Maybe use DeMar DeRozan as the screener for LaVine a lot of the time, but it's going to present a challenge on offense, and it's going to present a much greater challenge on defense, where LaVine and DeRozan have been two of the weakest defenders in the league in past seasons. You've got Nikola Vucevic isn't a traditional rim protector in the middle. You're really counting on a lot defensively from Patrick Williams going into his second season to cobble this together into even a near average defense. And then they lose Thaddeus Young, who is an important depth piece for them in the front court to make that sign and trade happen with San Antonio. So, you know, I think they're better, but I still think they're more in the play-in mix than they are a team that's going to be in the top six in the Eastern Conference.
I'm so happy you said that because I always thought that LaVine should be here with the Knicks. So if this thing collapses and it's a disaster, you're telling me that it's still hope, you know, for us to still get a guy in his prime like Zach LaVine and all his high-flying, you know, attributes that he has. Oh, but what I really want to ask you about is the East Coast and the West Coast beef that we have brewing here. We got LeBron James and AARP squad on the left coast, the West Coast. And now we have Brooklyn adding, I think, a very sneaky, acquisition in Patty Mills, giving them more 3-point shooting and a guy, another ball handler that maybe if Kyrie decides to go on to like some type of sage bend or go on a mission during the mid season, that they have somebody that can come in and handle the ball and shoot a little better if Joe Harris decides not to show up. Who do you think, you know, has the edge now as we're doing an arms race in the East Coast and the West Coast?
Yeah, I think it's Brooklyn. I agree with you. I think they're the clear favorite going in next season. You know, I think there's a very good chance they would have won the championship this season, given the way they played the first two games against Milwaukee, had Kyrie Irving not gone down in that series. And that was even after James Harden had gotten injured and came back severely compromised by that hamstring injury. So, you know, if they're reasonably healthy, if you assume reasonable health for all the contenders, I think the Nets are the best team on paper right now.
Kevin Pelton, ESPN NBA writer with us. Kevin, are you skeptical of the Lakers because of the age, or how do you look at them overall right now? The Westbrook situation is fascinating on many levels.
I think probably, yeah, less because of the age and more because of the Westbrook situation. I mean, you know, you're there in a situation where they need to sign a bunch of minimum players to fill out the roster and not go even deeper into the luxury tax than they already are. And, you know, I think of the Moneyball line, you're sort of getting guys with warts when you only have the minimum to offer. And in their case, that wart is the age, which is a lot better than not being able to play, I guess. So, you know, I think for where they were, they did really well there. And they did add a lot of shooting to compensate for the fact that Westbrook is not going to provide much of that. But what they don't have a ton of right now are those two-way role players that are so important in the playoffs. You look at Danny Green for them in the 2020 title run, who just re-signed with Philadelphia. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope had a great playoff run that year. They lost him to Washington in the Westbrook trade. I don't know that they could have counted it going forward, but that Markieff Morris did that for them in that playoff run. Now he's in Miami as one of their minimum guys. Who is that player on this roster? Trevor Ariza, I think, is the hope. He's an age, you know, issue. Kent Bazemore shot to 40% from three last year. If he can do that again, then he fills that role. But that was kind of out of line with the rest of his career. I think right now, you know, Frank Vogel may have to choose a lot of the time between, are you going to put shooters out there to space the floor, or are you going to have defenders? And you don't necessarily have the guys who do both.
Kev, last one. Kawhi Leonard, we haven't spent a lot of time talking about him. He opts out, which may not have been the most beneficial financially in the long run for him. But how do you view this right now? Is he a lock in your mind to go back to the Clippers?
I think probably so. I mean, there's no team out there other than Oklahoma City that has the cap space to sign him. So he would have to somehow, you know, threaten to sign it with Oklahoma City and convince the Clippers to work on a sign-and-trade deal if he did want to go somewhere else. I mean, I think the thing we've learned about Kawhi, this guy operates at his own pace, both on the court and off it. You know, 2 years ago, we were all waiting for his decision in 2019 free agency between the Clippers and the Lakers and the Raptors, which sort of held up a lot of everything else that was going to happen. And unlike all these other players who now, you know, the decisions are done July 1st, or this case, August 2nd, as soon as things get announced, you know, he took a few days to make up his mind and doing that again this season. But I would be very surprised if he wasn't back with the Clippers.
Kevin Pelton, ESPN NBA writer. Great stuff. We appreciate it, man. Thanks.
All right. Thanks for having me.
All right. It's Kevin bringing us a Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Hey, not only that, Bart, but Team USA. Yes, we can.
I am a real American. FIFA was right. Oh, never mind.
I think Kevin Durant was singing that as he ran off the court today when they beat Australia to get to the gold medal game.
No, he wasn't. He's young whippersnapper. What do you know about Hollywood, Hulk Hogan, and Hulk Hogan?
Well, they came back from 15 down against Australia and dominated in the second half, specifically 32-10, I think it was, in the third quarter.
Rematch. I'm telling you, man, that game with Slovenia and France was amazing. I know it happened and everybody's probably asleep, but because I had to do KJZ, I was up.
You were
and
up.
I'm talking about, you know, like Luka, man, passing on the last
what
shot.
What was
man,
that?
Came off the pick and roll. Yeah, man, you don't let Wacky D. Like, listen, I can't name another player on Slovenia. It sounds like Slovenia. I can't even name another player on their team. So who the hell he was passing to? It doesn't matter what his name is, because we don't know who the hell he is if you tell us.
Well, I was surprised too, and it didn't look like, if you missed it, Slovenia ended up losing to France by a bucket, and Slovenia had the basketball on the last possession of the game, and Doncic had a look. I mean, he wasn't quite double-teamed. He was guarded.
But we've seen him take those looks in the playoffs.
Exactly.
You think the playoffs are more pressure cooker against better athletes than I know it was Rudy Gobert. But come on, man. We've seen you pull up on Paul George, pull up on Kawhi Leonard. No problem. Come on, son. You got to take that
Well,
shot.
He gave the ball up, and what happened? It got swatted away.
Yeah, gave the ball up to Dellavedova or something, man. Like, who the hell are you passing the rock to, man?
Well, it got swatted away, and so they're headed for the bronze medal game. But the French get another crack. The Americans get another crack at the French, I should say.
I call them a polybou francaise.
Yeah, well,
I don't even know what that means. That's the only thing about I took French class that I even remember from.
It means, do you speak French?
Okay.
And apparently you don't. So neither do I, for that matter.
The polybou francaise.
Yeah, I mean, the kids who took French were always much smarter.
Yeah,
they
was bougie. It was an air about them that I just didn't like. I rock with the people that was talking Spanish. You know what I'm saying? It was a little bit more down. I don't want somebody coming to class wearing a bonnet. Like, come on, man, what do you think this is?
You think you
Sergeant Slaughter and G.I. Joe, man? No one would see that. No, the beret. My bad.
It was bonnet. I was like, yeah. Are they Amish too? What exactly?
Hey,
was
man,
that?
I'm sleep deprived.
I know.
Man.
I know. It's
about,
okay.
You know, I'm talking about the little beret thing that you put to the side, like Sergeant Slaughter. Yeah, man.
Yes. No, I get it, and I think
crumpets.
But you know, it's funny when you look at Durant having a big role in this comeback. You look at Drew Holiday having a huge role in this comeback, and now they get another opportunity. We joke about it. But I can see where they'd be very annoyed that they lost the first time around. And I could see them, even though you've got some talent on that team, you know, with Gobert, with Fournier, and then you go down the list, and we're talking about Timothy Luwalu Cabarro, TLC.
Yeah, spell it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's not I would absolutely believe there would be a hunger to blow the doors off them here moving forward.
Yeah. I wonder who they're going to start, because I think the first time when they lost to him, they didn't have JaMale McGee. And they're going to need a big body for Rudy Gobert, because they'll just throw the ball over everybody and he'll just slam the ball and, you know, kill him inside. You know, Bam Adebayo is there, but he don't really. He's more, like we said, a forward. I don't know if he wants that smoke. You know, JaMale McGee is just dumb enough. He knows what he's there for. He don't need no shots. He don't want no shots. He just want to run the court, throw him a hoop, and he's going to get a gold medal. Like when people saw that, he's like the one thing that don't fit, right? So you look at all the players that's on the team, like Jamel McGee, like is that the dude with the braid in the back of his neck? Mm-hmm. Like, oh man. But he serves a perfect purpose for what they need to get him an athletic big to help with the pick and rolls, to help with the size of some of the other teams. You know what I mean? So I would see them maybe starting him, giving him a shot, you know, at old Rudy, to slow Rudy down.
What is your interest level in that game?
Zero.
Zero.
Like zero.
Zero. Yeah, see, I hate to downplay it, okay? The gold medal, yeah, for me overall, for amateur athletes, for the people who've been training their whole lives specifically for, yeah, this,
yeah,
I think that's special. It's magical. It can be really cool. But when it comes to this, like after the first Dream Team, I lost interest in it because they should win it every year. It should be an absolute blowout every year.
It's like creating a game and saying, and then make up all the rules and have somebody else play you, and then you lose to them. You got to be some type of dummy. Like, this your game. You know what I'm saying? Like, the other places, you know, their major games are cricket. You know what I mean? Like, you know, first of all, I'm more excited to see, like, the badminton championship or something like that. Or ping pong. Do they got ping pong?
Yeah.
Yo, you be seeing some of the stuff, the ping pong, like, they hit that ball, they fly all the way off, and they go get it and sweat.
Yep.
Ping pong. That much relative.
I watched the badminton the other day,
yo,
and I was into it.
It's real.
It was very real. There's no way you're catching up with these guys. They know what they're doing.
If I could be in any Olympic sport, I would want to play badminton. I mean, badminton.
See, I'd want to be in the Winter Olympics in the luge.
Ooh.
I want to be that guy laying down on his back going 150 miles an hour.
Remember, you ever seen Norbit? I don't know if you ever seen Norbit. But, you know, Ross Bucher, he's like, oh, you want to see how you going down the slide? Huh? How you doing? So she got down there. She about 400 pounds. The water couldn't stop her. I could see you in the loo taking off. And it was like, it'd be like Michael K doing his home run call. See ya! Yeah. Like, we'll never see Chris again. You know what I mean? He might go up there, hit Bezos or hit Bronson or something like that. Be up in the upper atmosphere, never come back.
Chevy Chase and Christmas Vacation going down on the sled. And it, you know, it all of a sudden turns into like there's rocket fuel. Somebody hit the Nas.
How you going?
Zero interest at all for this.
Zero.
Like, it's the Evan Fournier revenge game, Bart.
Zero. Listen. That'd be another thing I would go ask God for time back. Like, God, remember I watched that game? Can I have it 2 hours back?
Yeah, like, somebody really owes me that.
Like, come on, Jesus.
Suburb Games News and Notes is brought to you by California Almonds, representing your country or representing your trivia team. Almonds are the natural fuel for the best you. California Almonds, own your everyday. Every day. Chris Carlin, Bart Scott on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. You know, the one other thing that Kevin told us there that I thought was very interesting is how skeptical he is of the Bulls situation. That's crazy. You are a little bit too. And maybe you have a couple of the same type of pieces that are in place because of guys who need to have the ball in their hand to actually make it happen.
But they're trying to be Houston, right? They're trying to just outscore everybody because they ain't got no defense. You win championship with defense, and they're trying to go with the old D'Antoni style and just say, hey, we're going to outscore everybody with a bunch of scores, but no defense.
Yeah, I get that, but I love the talent upgrade that they've brought in. It's just how quickly, in your hopes that LaVine ends up with the Knicks or someplace else, does it come where they realize that this style of play and this talent for that style of play is not going to work? Because you know what it feels like? One of those times where you have a team that bails on a plan pretty quickly.
Yeah,
like, I mean, it could be that.
Yeah, like, listen, just because you get a lot of talented people don't mean that they fit together right. Right, and somebody's going to have to sacrifice their game. Like, you would think that Lonzo Ball doesn't really care about shooting. He's more of a facilitator. But you talk about DeRozan, who we mentioned, is used to having a ball in his hand. LaVine, who's used to having a ball in his hand coming off pick and roll. Who's going to have that conversation? Because these aren't established stars. Like, DeRozan's probably most established star. But these are guys that are trying to make a name for themselves in this league. And somebody has to have enough maturity to say, you know what, I'll become less of who I am for the betterment of the team. Somebody has to become the Chris Bosh of this little threesome that they got together, or foursome, and I don't know who that's going to be.
I tell you what, it better not end up being LaVine. because I still love him as a player.
But with LeVine, he's going to want to leave. Yeah. You remember, he wants a contract with his respect on it, right?
And I know. But I would think he's going to get that now. But the question is, how long is he going to stick that out?
Does he want to sign it, right?
Yeah.
Just because they sign it, superstar sign it, you know, guys would still give up. I mean, if I'm the Knicks, I'll give up whoever they want for a guy like LeVine. He's the star you've been looking for.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Do you have interest in Team USA getting another shot at France? It's too bad the French don't have us to come in and bail them out at halftime like every other big situation for the French.
Comme ici, comme ça. Don't know what that means.
Up next, Bart, maybe, just maybe, the future for Aaron Rodgers could be in Green Bay after all. We will explain what we are talking about in just moments right after Bart tells you about our friends from DoorDash.
DoorDash here with the summer of Dash Pass. Right now, Dash Pass members are taking $10 off groceries, alcohol, pet food, and more. Need a nightcap? $10 off. Got a cough? Get relief delivered for less. Want to surprise your crush? Send a gift and save. Try Dash Pass for free and get special savings, exclusive menu items, and $0 delivery fees year-round. Get more from your neighborhood now with Dash Pass in the DoorDash app. And stay cool out there. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Han.
Oh, that's one of my best songs of all time. This beat is so dope. Oh, Mobb Deep.
Lil Kim. You named the original song?
No, it's the original song.
Where the beat's from? Yeah, this is sampled.
This is sampled?
Yeah.
You mean to tell me that hip hop samples music from other people?
It happens occasionally, yeah.
Wow. No, I do not know. Honestly, I do not know who's
it. It is one of the worst songs ever. It's called Blinded Me with Science.
With science?
Yeah, I'll play it for you during the next break.
PBS
it
is, after school special?
Oh my God. It's like one of those early 80s Devo type songs where it's just freaking weird and it's terrible. And it's not even a song. It's not even a song. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Family is everything. And I've got peace of mind knowing that my family is taken care of with life insurance. I recommend SelectQuote. SelectQuote has been helping families for over 35 years. Plus, quotes are free. Go to SelectQuote.com. That's SelectQuote.com. Audiophiles, let's do it.
The audio file.
First up is Aaron Rodgers. Now, we understand that it has been a chilly relationship, to say the least, between Aaron Rodgers and the Packers front office. So he was asked yesterday about his current relationship with the GM, Brian Gutekunst.
I think it's a work in progress, for sure. Relationships aren't formed in a matter of a couple of days. There's time where the respect grows and the communication follows. You know, I think the greatest relationships that you have, you know, with your friends and loved ones involve conversations that flow. It's all about wanting to have those conversations and wanting to, you know, to be in conversation like that. And, you know, we've had a couple conversations and been positive conversations.
What do you make of that?
Listen, man, this is like the first stage of therapy, right? Like, listen, they don't have enough time together before the season. Like, you know how you, like, when you go to therapy or you go to marriage counseling, something like that, It's about getting the reps in, right? And it's about having uncomfortable conversations.
Yeah.
But he's about to start a football season where they're not going to talk about the contract. They're not going to talk about Aaron Rodgers' hurt feelings. It's going to be other things to address. So by the time it's time to address that, you're not going to have the growth that you need to save this relationship. It's a wrap.
Okay, but, I mean, it sounded at least, if not warmer, a little bit more tepid than maybe it had been before.
Listen,
as opposed to flat-out ice cold.
A. Ryan's no fool. He knows he's going to need Gutekunst's, whatever his name is.
Gutekunst.
He's going to need his cooperation to go to the destination that he wants to go to. He's already got him, his person. I bet you he's probably going to say, get out and take Randall Cobb with you because we want him anyway, right? So I was like, we all know that that's happening. Well, let me say this. 90% chance that it's happening. So he's going to play well in the sandbox because he wants the destination that he wants to get to. And maybe they take a little less so Aaron Rodgers can go to the destination that he wants to go to. And they don't take much as much back.
The only thing I keep coming back to, it's just going to be so bizarre if the Packers go and win a championship and he walks out the door.
No chance.
No chance they're going to win a championship?
No chance. No chance that they're going to win a championship. And especially if they have to see any team like the San Francisco 49ers. They're not built. I mean, remember that a couple years ago, man, Green Bay couldn't get away from them fast enough.
I remember.
Physically just beat the hell out of them. And there's nothing they can do with a team like that. They're not built to stop a team like that. But here's my point.
I yearn to watch the awkward. And I want to see that situation get as awkward as possible, which is why I don't want to hear Aaron Rodgers talking about how great Gutekunst is.
Yeah.
Or at least that we're working on a relationship.
Yeah, trizzle.
Joe Judge with the just absolutely going off the other day at practice. Barch is shaking his head right now because Joe Judge made his team run 110s and then he made them do push-ups after the big brawl with the on the field.
You know how many damn push-ups I can do? I can sit here this whole damn show and do push-ups. Push-ups to an athlete, like, come on, man. You're playing yourself.
But in that case, as you said yesterday, he's not punishing you, he's punishing me.
Yeah, he's punishing the fat people.
Exactly. Like, the guys that can't really do it. Anyway,
who barely Chris hits Canty, the ground before they go. Never mind.
My belly does hit the ground before I get there. What's your problem?
Do a tricep extension. You ain't working no part of the chest.
Once again, it's called science, Bart. That's how it works. But Chris Canty of DiPietro Canty and Rothenberg on 98.7 ESPN in New York, and of course, here on ESPN all the time. With his reaction to Joe Judge's punishment for his team.
Now, as far as the players are concerned and Joe Judge putting the discipline on them after the brawl, I think it's important to note that you don't have a lot of guys that are on that team that are pushing back against Joe Judge doing the types of things that he's doing. Like, it's unconventional to have guys run wind sprints and do push-ups in practice as a punishment for a team fight. But the fact that he did it and that you don't have veteran players speaking out against it, I think that gives you a little bit of insight as to how the players on that team feel about him.
Yeah, he's got a young roster. He's a young coach, so he can get away with some things because he got, who's going to push back?
Logan Ryan, for instance.
Yeah, and he did say something a little bit, but at the end of the day, he just paid him a bunch of money, when he was on an extension trying to look for a job, so he ain't going to say much. He getting that good check. I mean, come on, man. Like, if he would have pulled that stuff when I was with the Ravens, they would have said, hey, up, down. We said, up these what?
You know what? Okay. You're not helping us here, but yes, I get the point. So the fact that there's not a ton of veterans makes you think that he can just get away with that.
Well, you can do whatever you want because, like, guys are still trying to get their career. They don't know what they're supposed to do and what's acceptable, what's not acceptable.
What I really want to know is, Bart, where – this is something in the NFL in particular that I've always been curious about. Where is the line – between showing respect to players, them being professionals and being grown men, and actually having to hold a team accountable for something.
Yeah, the problem was and reason why he went with this method because it wasn't just one guy, two guys fighting. It was the whole team. So you got to do something that collectively you can punish them as a team. If it would have been two guys, you would have maybe fined them, maybe sent the guy home and kicked him out of practice for the next day and gave him a nice little fine or something like that. But when it's the whole team, what are you going to do? Fine the whole team? You can't do that. So what you do is you just punish them. And it's a little slap on the wrist. I mean, it's more irritating than anything.
Yesterday, Justin Herbert, a guest of Max Kellerman on the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. And Herbert was asked about his reaction to all the high praise he has received around the NFL.
I think it's a great opportunity to go out there and prove yourself. And obviously, you try to limit the distractions outside of the building. And, I try to focus on just what my coaches, what my teammates, and what they're saying. But, it is a lot of noise outside, and you do your best to find out what's important and what's not. But it is a great opportunity that we have to go play football. I think we've got an incredible offensive line, some receivers that can make some incredible catches, run some great routes, and I think a defense that's going to play really well this year. So it's going to be a lot of fun to play for this team.
How much better are the Chargers going to be this year?
Significantly. But, the Achilles heels for the Chargers over the last 10 years or 5 years for sure has been their health and their kicking game. And until they fix that, they're going to continue to lose all those tight games that they've always lost because they haven't had great luck with their health and they haven't had great luck with their kicking game.
I'm begging Derwin James and Bosa to stay healthy. I'm begging for it to happen. Yeah. Because I do think this is a really good team that could do some things, but they play in not the most ideal division when you have the Kansas City Chiefs there. I'm very curious as to him in the second year as well, continuing to grow. And I don't like the whole sophomore jinx bit.
Yeah.
I think more in terms of a guy just building on what was a fantastic rookie season.
Well, they got better, right? They got better in front of them because they took the Phillip Rivers money off the books. They have a rookie quarterback, so now they have money to go out, and they can have a luxury piece like, hey, we can draft Slater, and then we can also go in and make Corey Lindsey the highest-paid center in all of football to protect them because they have 5 years where they don't have to worry about overpaying their quarterback, so it allows them to have tremendous depth on their football team. So they're in a window now, and if he continues to play at the level that he played last year, they're going to be a legitimate shot and chance to have just as much talent on their team than that of the Kansas City Chiefs right inside of their division. Because remember, that's exactly how Kansas City went about their business. It took them a year before they actually saw what Patrick Mahomes could do in live action. They're a year behind. So they're a year ahead of Kansas City in regards to kind of figuring out what their quarterback is and what the type of weapons they need around them to take them to a Super Bowl.
ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They are going to help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Tonight, actual NFL football preseason, yes. And no Ben Roethlisberger, no Dak Prescott, but the Steelers and the Cowboys in the Hall of Fame game. Why the Steelers are not going to get to where people expect them to get to this year, and why the Cowboys are really being treated as if they're not going to be taken seriously. And there's good reason for that. All of that ahead. Your calls, 888-SAY-ESPN, on all of the NBA free agency we have gotten into. How much better have the Knicks made themselves over the last few days? And was Julius Randle making the right decision when he signed the contract this morning? 4 years and $117 million on the extension. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio is brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. Next, Bart, he has been, the word is mocking. He has been mocking the Lakers' advanced age. Looks like the King has responded to that.
To me, specifically?
Find out next, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Bart and Han.
Carlin, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. So you have just been hammering the Lakers, and I'm right there with you too, on the age factor, on this being an older team. You called them, what'd you call them yesterday, AARP?
Yeah, one of those.
Yeah.
Geriatric bronze, I don't know.
Yeah.
Pick one.
Basically, just completely ageist towards the Lakers. For the entire team, or virtually the entire important parts of the team being over the age of 32. So this is LeBron yesterday.
Clap back.
A little clap back. But
I need to play some Ja Rule.
I personally think it was to you directly, but it doesn't say your name. I think he's one of those times where, like, he's clapping back, but he didn't want to give you any of the shine.
Yeah, because he don't want people to come find me and hate on me, but then they follow me, so then my
next thing you know, TMZ's outside the building today looking for your response to LeBron clapping back.
Ooh.
So here's what he said. Keep talking about my squad, our personnel ages, the way he plays, he stays injured. We're past our time in this league, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Do me one favor, please. And I mean, please keep that same narrative energy when it begins. That's all I ask. Hashtag thank you.
So says. What did he use before when he won the bubble title? Wash King?
Mm-hmm.
Now he's going to have like Uncle Drew King or something like that. Like, what are you going to come with now, man? I just don't think that, you know, they have
bad Grandpa
shooting.
King.
Yeah, it ain't so much the age stuff. I just think it's constructed poorly. And, yeah, I think it'll be good enough to get into the playoffs. But I think the Jedi mind tricks of people being afraid to go against LeBron and his teams, are that time is starting to change, like where you're afraid or you feel like you're inferior. I think now you think about how Denver has grown up. I think they don't fear. They respect any LeBron-led team, but they don't fear them. We know that Chris Paul and the Suns don't fear him, right? And we know, like, teams like Utah doesn't fear him at all. You know what I mean? So I think it's going to be harder because I think – remember, like, people used to be afraid of Mike Tyson?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, when they got –
And now Logan Paul thinks he can fight him?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I remember Emmanuel Stewart, the great boxing trainer from Crunk Gym in Detroit. And remember that scene where Lennox Lewis was fighting him? He's like, what are you doing? Now you got a dead man in front of you. Go out there and knock his ass out. You give him too much respect. And he went out there. Mike went from biting him on the ear and telling him he's going to eat his kids to wiping him with the backside of his glove saying, I love your mother. Like, oh, damn. He knocked all the toughness out of our Mike.
Yeah. Well, I do think that when it comes to the Lakers, I can't have any real true faith that they're going to be able to stay healthy. Not when we're talking about the players that we're talking about. At the ages we're talking about. I mean, the load management that is going to have to take place for the Lakers this year is going to be astounding. And see, like, I will be shocked if more than 30 times in the season you've got LeBron and Westbrook and AD all playing at the same time.
Yeah, they go.
Is that a low number, 30?
Well, they may look like the Brooklyn Nets. I think I have faith in a couple guys.
Yeah, maybe 40.
I got faith in the Brody plan because he's always in tremendous shape and little guys
age
well. I got faith in Dwight Howard because he's just a genetic freak.
The thing with Brody, though, there's, like, he's 32, but there's still a lot of mileage that is on those tires,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, but some little dudes just go. Like, they just go. Like, Daryl Green out right now can run a 4-3. He ain't going to get hurt, none of that. You know, but I think Dwight Howard is a genetic freak. He's going to be available. But all these other guys, they're going to have time on the IL, so to speak.
If you missed any portion of the show, you can always find both hours of Bart and Hahn posted daily as a podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts. Football tonight. Preseason, yes. But football tonight. Steelers and the Cowboys. ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.